Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Well, tonight I want to talk to you about signs and wonders, and what they are. Should we expect them today? And is it a thing that it's okay to ask for them? And so I want to start off, though, with this really cool story that I heard many years ago. It was probably one of the first stories I ever heard of God's supernatural provision. And it's the story of George Mueller. And this is back in the 1800s in England. And if you don't know who George Mueller was, he was a missionary and an evangelist. And he'd set up orphanages and traveled around the world preaching and talking about Jesus. And this one particular morning, they got up, they looked in the cupboard, and there was nothing. Nothing in the cupboard, and they didn't have any money to buy breakfast. And so his response simply was gather the children and told them that, you know what, it's not good for us to be late for school. So we're going to pray and ask God to bless the day and to thank God for the food we're about to eat. But remember, there was nothing in the cupboard and no money to buy anything. And so that's what he did. He asked God to bless the day and to bless the food they were about to eat. And sure enough, at the end of his prayer, there was a knock on the door. And it was the town baker. You see, he had been up at 2 o'clock in the morning baking bread because the Lord had told him the night before that the orphanage needed food. And shortly after he left, there was another knock on the door, and it was the milk delivery man. You see, his cart had broken down just outside the orphanage, and he needed to offload the milk because it was going to go to waste. And he was wondering, maybe could the orphanage use some milk this morning? Well, coincidence? I think not. He prayed in faith. He believed that God was a God who works in signs and wonders. You see, signs and wonders are simply things that violate the natural law. It doesn't make sense that he would pray believing that there is food and then food shows up, right? Well, maybe it was a coincidence. I don't believe that. I believe it was God at work. I mean, we can look in the Old Testament and we see probably some of the first Bible stories if you grew up in Sunday school. If you didn't, that's fine. I'm just going to give you a brief overview of the story of Israel. You see, Israel seemed to go in this cycle. They went really good, they messed up, went really bad, cried out to God for help, God saved them, and so on and so forth. And so at this particular time, they had been 400 years in Egypt. Maybe you saw the movie Prince of Dreams, or the live action one, whatever it might be. There's been many movies made about it. Some of them get some of the facts right. Some of them stretch it a little bit, but that's okay. Still entertaining, right? So here they are, they're crying out for God to save them. God sends Moses. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, no way. God sends the 10 plagues. And finally, Pharaoh says, okay, you guys can go. Actually, in fact, get out of here already. And so they're on their way, and Pharaoh changes his mind, sends his army after them. But the Israelites are now trapped because they've got the Red Sea on one side, and they've got Pharaoh on the other. What do we do? Well, Moses simply walks up, holds up his staff, and God parts the sea. See, I'm giving you the very abbreviated version. God separates a sea. Like, I remember the first time hearing that, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. But then I don't know, there was something actually about watching some of the movies and seeing, you know, some of the movies I watched were a little older, so the special effects not so great. So you had to kind of use your imagination a little bit. All right, for those of you who are maybe a little younger than I mean, you got some awesome movies coming. Back in the day, they were not so cool over the water. It looked really bad. All right, but it was still, you'd use your imagination and think about these waters parting, and I'm like, wow. That's amazing. And as they go through, and then the Egyptian army is hot on their tail, God throws the waters back, kills the Egyptian army, and the Israelites are safe on the other side. Well, then they end up in a 40-year journey through the desert. The desert. No food, no water, but yet God provides food and water for 40 years. And it actually says that not a single bit of their clothing wore out in 40 years. Imagine the fact of having to wake up every morning going, oh, my tunic is still okay. I cannot get a new one. Got to wear the same tunic for 40 years. All right? But yet, God did this for them. Now, fast forward, you've got Jesus on the scene in the New Testament. raising people from the dead, spitting into mud, putting it on people's eyes that are blind, them seeing. You've got another story where they had to pay the temple tax, so he tells Peter, hey, go fishing. That makes sense, right? Well, Jesus did it before, you know, when he first met the disciples, and they were out fishing, they hadn't caught anything all night, and he says, hey, throw the net on the other side. Where on earth does that make sense? That does not make sense. I can only imagine them scoffing inside their head going, I mean, who does this guy think he is? We've been fishing all night. On the other side. Yeah, that makes sense. And they do, and there's more fish than they can really handle. And here in this other scene, there, Jesus tells Peter to go fishing. I can only imagine what Peter's thinking in his head. I'm like, can you imagine the fish I'm going to catch this time? So he goes fishing, and sure enough, he catches the fish. And inside the fish's mouth is enough money to pay the temple tax. That doesn't make sense, right? It violates natural law. Peter himself then goes on, and we read in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, we see Peter and all the other followers of Jesus who are left in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And they were praying and waiting, reading the scriptures and waiting. And it said the Holy Spirit came like tongues of fire and like a mighty wind and shook the place. And then they went out and they started speaking in tongues. And in fact, there were people from all over the area there from other countries that had come back for this big festival. And it said that many of them heard them speaking in their own language, declaring the great works of God. How does that make sense? These people did not know that language. But they came out speaking in tongues and speaking in the languages of everyone that was there so they could all hear the great and wondrous works of God. That's amazing. And then you've also got Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and to where he goes and he hears him talking, reading through the book of Isaiah, and Philip goes up to him and says, hey, do you know what you're reading? He's like, no, I need someone to explain it to me. And so he reads through it, and the Ethiopian's like, I got to get baptized. So he baptizes them, and boom, all of a sudden, Philip's gone. Disappears before his eyes. Ends up in another town. How does that make sense? Can you imagine? That'd be quite the baptism. You know, our baptismal tank's back there, you know, pastor baptized, and boom, he's gone, right? You know, that'd be crazy. That'd be amazing. See, God works in signs and wonders. In fact, it's in his character, it's in his nature. But you see, sometimes we ask a couple of questions, and these are two questions that I've struggled with myself, and I've had to work through them. The first question is really, are signs and wonders still for today? And I'm here to tell you tonight that I have read through the scriptures. I have not come across a single piece of scripture or evidence in there that says that signs and wonders, that the miracle working power of God was only for in the Bible, and then when the book of Revelation was written, the end of the Bible, it was all put together and everything, God went, nope, no more signs, no more wonders, no more miracles, that's it. I don't see that. You see, in Acts 2, in 17 to 19, you see, as we talked about before, as they were speaking in tongues in the languages of the people, and over 3,000 people came to know Christ in that single day and surrendered their life to Jesus. And before that, Peter got up and he was speaking from the book of Joel, and he said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. Right? And then in verse 19, it says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth below. See, it says in the last days. It does not say in the last Bible days. Because we are still in the last days. You see, that moment that Jesus ascended, went back to heaven, that's when the last days started. And they will continue on until there is one last day when he comes back. And so we are now in those last days. So as far as I'm concerned, Jesus said it through the prophet Joel back in the Old Testament, hey, by the way, I'm going to still continue on in signs and wonders until the very end, right? And then at Jesus in Mark 16, he's addressing the disciples and his followers before he goes back to heaven, and he says these things. He says, and signs will accompany those that believe. And he goes through and he talks about people being raised from the dead, people being healed, and a whole bunch of other stuff that absolutely blows my mind, and it's absolutely amazing. It violates natural law because it's supernatural, because it's God at work, and it is only God that can do it. So as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing in this Bible that says that signs and wonders are done. They are still, God is still moving in power. God is still, I mean, as that story I shared at the beginning with George Mueller and so on through my life. I've seen him move in ways that I can't even understand. It's just amazing. And then the next question I had to struggle with and work through myself was, is it wrong to ask for them? Is it wrong to ask God, hey, God, can you work through my life? God, can you work through my life in power? God, I would like to see you work in signs and wonders through my life. Well, the problem is a lot of times what people come up with is Matthew 12. And the verse I've got up there, and this is the Pharisees that just asked Jesus for a sign. I mean, Jesus has done all kinds of amazing miracles. I mean, previous to this, they had been ready to throw him off a cliff. A whole angry mob was rushing him to this cliff to throw him off. And it says that he just walked through the crowd. Okay, so just a minute, just so I explain this. They're trying to kill him. And Jesus is at the edge of the cliff, and he just turns around and goes, okay. And he walks on through. Okay, the okay part, that was me. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know what Jesus said, but he simply just turned around, walked through the crowd. That doesn't make sense. They're trying to kill him. They're not going to let him through. He just walked right through. That's Jesus. And here he is. Here's the Pharisees again. Show us a sign, he says. And he responds with, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a sign. And I know some people, we can get hung up on this, right? Well, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the one that asks for a sign because Jesus said it's wrong. But now we've got a problem because we've also got Acts 4. And in Acts 4, we've got Jesus' followers, his disciples, the ones that were with him that saw him do signs and wonders, actually the ones that he told to go out and pray for the sick and see them get healed to demonstrate signs and wonders, the very people that were with him. And here they are, and I have to read this because this is an awesome verse. And it's found in Acts, and it's found in chapter 4, 29 to 31. And it says, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. And they were talking about Jesus and them crucifying him. But he says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where their meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Come on. Is that not an awesome verse? Is that not an awesome story? So here's the problem we've got, because, well, is it wrong to ask for a sign? But here, disciples, the one that Jesus taught one-on-one, are asking for God, stretch forth your hand and heal. Move in signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. So I would challenge that thought that it's wrong to ask for a sign, that it isn't. But the reason is that the problem is why are you asking for the sign? You see, the Pharisees' hearts were hard. They had already made up in their mind that Jesus was not the Messiah. Jesus was not Christ. Jesus was not the Son of God. He did not come to save them. And they were just against him. But yet the disciples, they weren't. They knew who he was. And so they were here and they realized that they also needed to move in signs and wonders because they saw that God did. And they saw Jesus saying, hey, go do this. Move in signs and wonders. Why? Because I'm with you. You see, we're not asking because we want the sign and the wonder. I'm asking because I want God. I want him to move through my life. I'm not after the signs and wonders. I'm not after the miracles. I'm not after, even though that's the fruit, though, of going after God. Of saying, God, whatever you want. God, will you work through me? God, because I want to see people come to know you. And as you read through the scriptures, and as you hear many stories throughout history of God moving in power, and demonstrating his love through miracles in ways that defy natural law, you see many, many people coming to Christ because they see the character, they see the nature, they see the love of God on display. See, there's a story, Mr. Ira Yates. It's a true story. He was a rancher in Texas back in the early 1900s. And he owned a big plot of land in western Texas, and he ranched sheep. But the problem is he fell on hard times. He had this huge plot of land, but he could hardly make the mortgage, could hardly put food on the table. Eventually, it got to the point to where he actually couldn't pay the mortgage. He couldn't put food on the table. And he was actually being subsidized by the government. He was accepting handouts because he couldn't do it himself. And so every day he would go out, take his sheep over different places around his land, the whole time, not being able to really provide. Until 1926, an oil company drilled about 1,100 feet down and continued on and struck a gusher of oil. Overnight, he became a millionaire. See, they estimated about, it's still active today, that oil field. It's one of the largest in North America. And they've already pulled about 1 billion barrels of oil out of it. And they're estimating there's about 1 billion more left that can be salvaged from it. 2 billion barrels of oil. See, the whole time Mr. Yates was walking around moving his sheep from area to area, the whole time he was a millionaire, but he didn't even know it. The whole time, it was right under his feet because he owned the land rights and the mineral rights. So anything that was found, he had the rights to. See, we are heirs of a vast treasure. Yet, we live in spiritual poverty. We are heirs of a vast treasure, and yet we live in spiritual poverty. See, it's kind of like a bank account. You see, God has loaded and stacked that bank account with every spiritual blessing. And we are spiritually rich, but don't even know it. And all it takes is us to walk in faith and make a withdrawal from the bank account. Because he said that actually Christ is in us, the hope of glory. The very presence of God dwells within us when we say yes to him. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. Because this is the God who created the universe. And he says, I want to live in you. I want to work through you. Our bank account is full, that spiritual bank account. But we need to remember to make a withdrawal. And I think it comes down to that one simple thing the majority of the time is that we don't ask. We don't go, God, would you please move through me? Would you please work in my life? God, I want to step out in faith and I'm believing and knowing that you're going to meet my faith where I'm at. And I'm going to see you move in power. So there's a book that I absolutely love. It's called Children and the Supernatural. It's written by a lady by the name of Jennifer Toledo. And she tells a number of stories in there. One of the stories is of the children from Bungoma. This is in Kenya. And there's two in this particular chapter that are absolutely astounding. The one is of a little boy who, unfortunately, his family was not able to provide for him, so they shooed him out into the field. They were in a remote tribe area, and they shooed him out in the field to take care of the animals, and he had to actually survive on his own. He had to find his own food and all that, and so he would out there. And over time, a man would come and visit him and tell him that he would send someone to rescue him. And that man introduced himself as Jesus. Now, fast forward a while later, and this lady who I'm talking about, Jennifer Toledo, had showed up with a team of people to minister to the area and tell them about Jesus. And they were very apprehensive, and they noticed that there were a number of children that were either orphaned or they weren't being provided for. So they said, hey, why can't we, can we take you back to the city and we can provide for you there? Because we've got a team that is willing to, that has food, water, all that sort. But they were very apprehensive because actually the other villagers were very apprehensive about and told them that they'd actually eat them and stuff like that. It was quite grotesque. But this one boy was very apprehensive and was like, no way, until they said, you know what, we want to teach you about Jesus. And all of a sudden he went, you know Jesus? I know Jesus. Jesus told me he'd send someone to rescue me. I'll come with you. Fast forward another year, and this little boy is now in a hospital room with a team of other children. And there's a number of sick people there. And these kids had shown up, and over in their culture, the kids should be seen and not heard, and most likely just not seen at all. But they showed up, and so they were a bit of an irritation. But this little boy said to the Jennifer, saying, "I have a song I want to sing." And he starts singing the song. He closes his eyes, sings with all his might, and opens his eyes, and this whole ward is now just weeping because the presence of God was so thick there. And many people walked out of that hospital room, one completely healed. A little while later, they were in another ward in a different hospital, and it was actually nicknamed the death ward because this is where people went to die. They were either suffering with AIDS or malaria or many other terminal illnesses. And they were there and they were praying for people, and they saw a few people got healed and a few people accepted Christ. But Jennifer was saying, "You know what? I was actually quite upset inside because I had seen entire hospital wards cleared out, being healed instantly. And here it was like, you know what? It was good, but..." And this little girl comes up to her and holds her hand and says, "Isn't this great? Isn't this amazing? All of these people are going to be healed tonight." And she broke down inside, realizing her faith wasn't where this little girl's was. And sure enough, the next morning, they got a call from the hospital saying that the entire ward was empty. In the middle of the night, people started packing up their stuff because they were well. One lady had been dying of AIDS and had packed up all their stuff in the middle of the night and said, "Well, I better go home now because I'm well. Jesus healed me." And she actually came back later to help them with their children's ministry, and they actually continued on in just like a revival. And actually, at one point, there was one hospital where the head nurse phoned them and said, "Hey, this is amazing. The students, the children, have been coming on their lunch break and praying for people. A lot of times, actually, even before a doctor could see them, and they would get healed before they'd even have to get into the hospital. This is amazing, but the problem is, if they keep doing this, I might be out of a job." Well, a while later, she phoned back again and said, "You know what? I'm sad, but I'm also excited because they're actually shutting down the hospital because there's no more sick people here. I'm out of a job now, but I'm excited because what God is doing." Well, she was able to find other employment, and she actually came and started helping them with their children's ministry set up around the region. And they saw an entire city have a march of hundreds of children marching around the city, praying for people, people getting healed, people accepting Christ. You've seen there was two divisions between the churches, one side, the other side, didn't matter what the problem was. And you see the pastors came together and cried out in repentance. There was tons of corruption in the government. Government officials started repenting and paying back money. They started investing back in their city and all these things. Isn't that amazing? It's God moving in signs and wonders. And this last story is about her visiting Sudan, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. This one, I don't know, for some reason got me. And tonight, we also want to make an opportunity for you to come forward in a little bit at the altar time and to say, "Hey, God, I want to see more. I want to see you move through my life. I want to see you move in signs and wonders in my life because I believe that's your character, that's your nature." And so here she was in Sudan, and they were talking to 13 to 18-year-olds. For hours, they would tell them about Jesus, and they were absolutely gripped. They were sitting still, and they were quiet. For anyone who works with teenagers, you know that's supernatural right there. For hours, they were sitting there hearing about Jesus. But there weren't many of them that asked Jesus in their heart. But you see, what would happen is after they left for hours, this went on for, they were there for a number of days. After they left, they stayed right where they were sitting for hours in silence, some of them sad, because there was turmoil inside of them because they wanted to accept Jesus. But you see, in the surrounding region, there was a tribe that anyone who converted to Christianity, they killed. So these 13 to 18-year-olds were not wrestling with whether they would accept Jesus. They were wrestling whether they would die for Jesus. And this one night, she was getting ready to speak, and she was like, "Oh, I'm going to speak on 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to talk about how Jesus can make us new, how he can turn old into new. You know what would be awesome? I want to find a butterfly because it's a great example of going from a caterpillar into a butterfly." But the problem was it was raining. She couldn't find a butterfly. She thought, well, I'll still go with it. I'll still talk and use a butterfly as an example. And so she took her Bible. She placed it on the podium that she was speaking up, opened it up to 2 Corinthians, and looked up. And here from the back of the room, out of the rain, flew this giant butterfly all the way up and landed exactly on 2 Corinthians 5:17. And for 3 hours, it stayed there. She even would pick up her Bible to show, because the youth, they wanted to see the butterfly. She would pick it up and show them where it landed. For 3 hours, it stayed there. And she finished speaking, and still not very many of them would respond. So she left, and she went to her room. And early in the morning, one of the 14-year-old boys came, knocked on her door, and said, I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm willing to die for Jesus. And he became a Christian that night. He asked Jesus into his heart, and within a few minutes, he led two other of them to Jesus, and it continued, and it spiraled on out of control, right? Because that's what God does. All from a butterfly. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to, because it's God. Because God moves in power. God defies natural law. So if you're here tonight and you feel this tug on your heart and you know inside that, God, I need to see you move in power. I know it's true. I've seen it in Scripture. I know it's true, but I don't see it here. Or maybe you're in that area of life where, you know what, God, I've seen you move in signs and wonders. I've seen you move in power. I've seen miracles, but I haven't seen them lately. And God, I want more. I want to see you more. I want to see your power and your presence move in my life and move in other people's lives. I want to see people come to know you because of your power, your presence, because of your love for them. If that's you here tonight, I want to challenge you to come up here and I want to pray together with you. So right now, if that's you here tonight and you're like, God, I want to see you more. I want to see you move in signs and wonders because I've got unsaved family. I've got unsaved friends that need to know you. Would you come forward just right now? Just right now. If that's you, just come forward. And I want to pray with you. If that's you and you're like, God, I want to see you more. The worship team's going to continue to pray, and I would encourage you, I want to pray together with you this scripture, this Acts chapter 4, the same prayer the disciples prayed. And if you want to stay up here, please stay up here, and we'll come by, and I just want to pray for you. And we've got some other people that would probably love and pray for you as well to see God move in your life even more. So God, right now, we're just praying together. Would you pray this with me? Would you pray this prayer with me, this Acts 4 prayer? Saying, God, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders in my life, through my life, through the name of Jesus. Amen. I encourage you to stay up here if you want to spend some time with.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.